I think I'm going to turn it over to this guy.
Thank you.
This is so exciting.
Let's see if I can do this without making a mess up here, Mike. I'll do my best. Here we go. Well, back in 1999, for those of you who are old enough to remember, there was some concerns about the new year, going from 99 to 2000. And it was because of a computer issue that came to light back in the 60s and 70s when they first designed computers and the way they coded them. They wanted to save space because memory was very important. So instead of putting the entire four digits for the year, they used just the last two digits. So for 1992, it was just 92. Well, as 2000 was approaching, some very smart people decided to freak the entire world out and say, if you don't fix this, when the clock ticks over to 2000, all of these computer programs will fail. You won't have heat, you won't have electricity, the power grids, everything's going to be horrible. So the consulting firms and the tech firms said, well, we can help fix this. We'll rewrite all your code so that we fix this problem. So companies spent billions of dollars to fix this. And it must have worked because at midnight from 1999 to 2000, nothing happened. Although, when we look back to 2016, we know one thing that happened. We had the death of Prince. One of our musical stars died in 2016. Well, his song, 1999, became a classic when that clock ticked over to 2000. And now we look back at it as one of those historical songs as opposed to one that's current. This morning's scripture covers a time for everything. And it's one of those go-to readings for New Year's Day. And you'll see why when I read it, and you'll recognize it. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. When you look back at 2016, or whether you're looking forward to 2017, these words continue to ring true and always will. You see, for us, our humans, I used to say that cliche that everything happens for a reason. And based on the things that we've seen over the last year and years before that, and what's going to come next, I don't say it that way anymore. Because sometimes, yeah, there may be a reason, but I can't figure out what it is. So I just stop now and I say, everything happens. And that's what the scripture tells us. Everything does happen. And I'm going to tell you what does not. It doesn't happen because God wills it. When you look at that list, half of them would be viewed as bad. God doesn't will that bad things happen to us. Some people argue it happens because we're all sinners. Actually, I think it happens because we're all alive and we're here on this earth. It's not because of what our ancestors did, and it's not because we're being punished or we're being rewarded. These things simply happen because we're alive and we live here on earth. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent. When you look at the scripture and you look at those pairs, you do need both for it to make sense. One without the other is not going to work. Now, there's 14 different pairs that I read, so 28 different experiences. In the past, Loretta and I preached on this, I don't know, what, 5 years ago? And we picked. And when I was thinking about getting this going, I decided me picking is sort of wrong, because then I'm doing the ones that I like or that are easy for me. So what I did is there are each of the pairs here in a basket on sheets of paper, individual pairs on individual sheets. If you would just grab one, and you can, and you read it, and I'll, and that's what I'm going to talk on. Go ahead.
A time to mourn and a time to
dance. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Give me a second. I have a cheat sheet. A time to mourn and a time to dance. All right. Personal experiences in 2016. I unfortunately had way too many opportunities to mourn. There were deaths that occurred. People in their 20s, people in their 80s, and everywhere in between. And attending the funerals and memorial services, what I found is there is a time to mourn. And that is the right moment. But I'll tell you, at the same time, when you think back of the lives of these amazing people, I'll name a couple of them, Sarah Diefendurfer, Joe Bartels. It's a time to dance. I mean, these people, whether their life was short or their life was long, they lived it abundantly. We look back and we celebrated their lives because they lived it to the fullest. And that's what we have to look at. Death is inevitable. But it doesn't have to be that major. You can mourn the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship. And every step we take, we have to look at that and say it's right to do at this time. Dancing. King David, when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought in, 2 Samuel tells us a story starting at chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. David was a king. He was the king of Israel, and here he is dancing publicly, which is below his station. But David was in love with God. He was in love with the Lord. He could not be contained. Anyone go to a wedding this year? A few? Those are amazing celebrations. Those are a time to dance. Those are a time for joy. New birth. Any new babies this year, children or grandchildren? Raise your hands really high so everybody can see. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. And sometimes we don't get the time right. They were mourning a young girl, and they brought Jesus and said, you can't do anything. It's done. And they said to him, go away. And he responded, the girl is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. But healing came. There was a time to mourn, but they got the time wrong. And as we look at that pair, sometimes it's a little bit hard to figure out which one we're supposed to be doing. All right, we're going to pick another one. Who wants a pick? I'm not going to walk too far. I'm going to walk right over here. A time to be born and a time to die. If you look at the list I read this morning, birth and death are first on the list. They're also the one pair that we have absolutely zero control over. We don't decide when we're going to be born, and we don't know when we're going to die. It's out of human hands. But when you look at the rest of the list, Those are all choices that we make. And so that puts a little bit of weight on us, doesn't it? It's not just, oh, these things are going to happen. We actually have a choice as to how we react to when they do happen. And there is a time to be born and a time to die. And it starts with that. We just celebrated Christmas, where a small baby was brought into this world and changed the world. The Christ child brought hope, brought joy, brought peace. And we all started there. Anybody here didn't come into the world as a baby? Oh, thank you, Allie. That's my granddaughter, by the way. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say. But we all start at the same place. We're needy. We need to be taken care of. But we grow and we change. And a time to die is the other extreme. It's another thing we all have in common. And we even have it in common with Christ. Christ died on the cross for us and for our sins. But death was not the last word. The last word was the resurrection. Christ returning for the love of us and to give us hope. So it starts out with a baby, and it ends with Christ being raised from the dead. Even though you can't control them, how will you approach those two? I mentioned a couple of the funerals that I attended, and it amazes me to watch someone die well, who has lived a full life and is ready, and they're knowing that they're going to see Christ, and their faith is strong, because they know death is not the last word. Somebody should be timing this. Let's see. All right. Next one. Oh, all right, you were smiling. You get to pick it. You guys checking these off so next year when I do this, we don't do the same ones? All right, do we have any hoarders in the room? It's a time to keep and a time to throw away. I don't think it just means stuff. All right, time to keep and a time to throw away. Oh. What do you want to keep in your life? And what do you want to throw away? Take a moment, think of that. And I'm not just talking stuff. I'm talking people around you. I'm talking about your attitudes and your habits. We have some good habits, right? How many of us are making our New Year's resolutions? I'll save you a lot of time. Stop. In about 8 days, you'll go, well, that was interesting. I can't remember why I wrote that down. I must have been feeling bad that day. But when we look at what we're keeping, there are those we want to keep close. Those people in your life who make a difference, who you make a difference for. Stay connected with them. Don't wait to pick up that phone. Don't wait to send that text, which, by the way, is not a form of communication, except if you're younger. But what we discover when you look at what you're keeping, did you know even ants do it? There's a song that goes along with that, but it's actually out of Proverbs 30:25. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. So the smallest creatures are going to keep things. But some creatures, like us especially, need to throw things away. If you walk into your closet, and I just read this really cool thing, so I'm going to give you one thing you can do. It's not a resolution, it's a tactic. Go into your closet and turn all your hangers backwards with your clothes hung on it. Okay? Turn them around. And then every time you wear it, when you hang it back up, put it in normal. And then in June, so 6 months from now, when you're cycling out your clothes, if there's any that are still turned around, you don't like those clothes, you're not wearing them, give them to somebody who can use them. Isn't that cool? Facebook can be a positive influence on your life. And there is good throwing away. We always look at throwing away. I was, you know, I got to get rid of that. It's going to go in the garbage. No, and I just talked about turning those hangers around. Giving away things to charity for those who can use it is a wonderful thing to do. There is a time to give away that is positive. Don't always look at it as a negative. And when you do keep what you need. And not what you want. I mean, we all have those wants, and I got to have it. But when it comes right down to it, the scripture out of Luke tells the story. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told him a parable about a rich man who had an abundance of crops and had no place to store them. So he said, "I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. He'll have it great for many years." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will end. Then who gets what you prepared for? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." So when you look at the items you're keeping, how do they connect you and keep your faith strong? Whether it's relationships, whether it's things you own, whether it's your thoughts, how are you keeping those and what are you going to do with those? And is there a time that you should be throwing those away? One more, Loretta? You think we're good time-wise if we do one more? Yeah, Stacia's smiling. Hi, Stacia. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. Oh, a time to search and a time to give up. Oh. Right now we're in this, you know, in the, what day Christmas is this? 25th? Eighth? Eighth day of Christmas. What do we get? Eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Eight maids a milking. All right, but we're going to be, you know, more appropriate, eight persons a milking. Because it's not just maids, guys can milk too. So we'll do it that way. But a time to search. The three kings are searching right now. They're searching for the Christ child. And on Epiphany Sunday, next Sunday, we'll be celebrating that event. Because after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Are you searching for Christ? The Magi did it for a short period of time, and when they found him, they went away celebrating after they had given their gifts. But we're searching for Christ every day of our lives, trying to get to where we should be, looking for hope, looking for peace, looking for joy. A time to give up. Anybody watch the football games yesterday? There were a couple teams that looked like they gave up early on. And I don't think that's what this is referring to. This is not a sports analogy. Sometimes the things you're pursuing are the things you shouldn't. And it's time to give them up, to change your life, to make that turn. And sometimes, let's be honest, the effort is just fruitless. And at some point, you just have to stop and say, "This isn't going to work. I either need help or I need to stop it." And the other time to give up, probably the greatest time, is when you're surrendering to Christ, when you're connecting, and you're giving up your old life and turning new with Christ. And 2017 is a great time to do that. Today is a great time to start. And as we look at this scripture that we had today, there is the right time for right actions. And one of the things it brings to mind is you have to really be pretty wise and attuned to figure out which action you should be taking for each of these pairs. Just because it sounds like one of the negatives, it may be one of the positives. And the alternate may be true. One of the positive things may actually be a negative in your life. And how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to figure it out? And what it comes down to is a wise person knows what time it is and knows what actions to take. Recognizing that there is a proper time for everything allows us to accept life as it comes. That's from the part in Ecclesiastes that comes after the scripture I read today, and I'm going to read the whole thing as I wrap up. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of their toil. This is the gift of God. These pairs didn't change when Christ came. They still exist because we live on this earth. Our challenge in 2017 and in the future is to discern our reaction to each of these pairs and to figure out how Christ is going to be in those decisions. And as you go forward in 2017, my hope and my dream is that you do that, and that when you're dealing with a situation, before you react, take a breath. I know I can learn from that. Happy New Year. May the future be bright. Amen.
It's time to pray. As we take time to pray, Lord, we recognize how precious time is. We can try to save time. We can squander time. We've been told not to waste time. We've been told to make time. Time is an elusive thought for us, Lord, and yet we know that it is precious. In these past few days, we may have spent precious time with family and friends. We may have spent time reflecting, time alone, time laughing, time crying, time being together. In all of that time, Lord, you have been with us. In each moment, in every blink of our eye, in every smile and hug. Lord, help us always to remember that in every moment of our time, you are there. Lord, we recognize on this New Year's Day that time moves forward and calls us to move forward, calls us to move into a future that we don't see clearly, but you do, into a future that can be intimidating, but you, being with us, can give us the strength to face whatever the future might bring. So we ask, Lord, that as you grant us that strength in the days ahead, that you would also give us the courage to live the life that you have called us to live, to know when it is time to plant and time to uproot, to know when it is time to weep and when it is time to laugh. Give us wisdom, Lord, to discern the time it is for each of us. And not that my time is the same as my friend's time or my family's time, but that my time is designed by you, and that that is enough. And that you will make sure that I am enough for the time that you call me to. Grant wisdom to us, Lord. Grant wisdom to us for our daily decisions. Grant wisdom to our leaders for those decisions which will affect the many. You don't call us, as Mother Teresa reminds us, to do great things. But you do call us, in our time, to do great things with great love. Whether they're small in the quiet of our hearts, in the quiet of our homes, in the bustle of our business, in the streets of our city, call us to do with great love. And remind us, Lord, to take time to be with you. As we do that now, Lord, let us be open to all that you have in the time that you call us to. Emmanuel, God with us, we are grateful for this time today, this gathering that you have called us to, this time together with family and friends, with fellow believers. Help us to remember always, Lord, that the time that you give us, the time that your Son walked with us and among us, has not ended, but continues. Let us be part of that span of great time, from the very beginning of creation until this moment. Let us join our voices with those who have gone before as we offer the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.